in general in life, it's wise to begin our day with the cultivation of mindfulness. For it reconditions our brainwaves. It promotes a wholesome approach to life by just being clear and present and intentional in a way that establishes the kind of foundation that we have begun to cultivate and to live upon. A day begun with metta can bring a certain kind of light or awareness to the mind and heart, especially if we've spent time cultivating it with some depth, as some of you here are doing. So taking a moment to bring your practice to mind, and for those who are continuing to do mindfulness, embodied mindfulness, awareness of breathing, feel comfortable to join the metta practice for this period where we'll be concentrating it for a few minutes and then breaking down the barriers. First of all, take a moment to contemplate the wholesomeness of this practice. The practice that leads to non-harming, to ahimsa. The practice that promotes a sense of well-being at a constitutional level, but also well-being in the relational experience of life. A practice that instills the energy of this mind and body with more confidence in the wholesome intentionality with which we might live. A practice that instills the mind with an attitude or approach that can be more readily carried forth as a result of some concentration of metta. And finally, if you wish, just that metta is a part of our true nature. And that each moment of metta practice reaches down and filters through into that place of truth, of true being, nourishes it, awakens it, and keeps it awake. And then, when it feels appropriate to continue or to begin with the metta phrases, may I be free or may I be safe from all forms of danger and harm. May I have mental happiness. May I have physical happiness. May I have ease of well-being. clear and direct and precise, engaging the metta phrases. Metta can only be cultivated by cultivating metta, returning, cutting through the fog of the mind. Sometimes it's helpful to see each word as a stepping stone across a great cavernous abyss that we so easily fall into, one word at a time, or across a stream that so easily can carry us away, the currents of the unconscious mind. Stepping stones, one word at a time. Sometimes, for support and reassurance, we link the words and phrases with the movement of breathing in the body. For now, more by degrees embodied in mindfulness, we can use this physical base, this body, in order to support this mind-liberating practice. Conjoining the metta phrases with the breath, the sense that, yes, this is a wise use of life. This breath is life. This is a wise use of life. Protecting the metta phrases from invasion or intrusion. For the counterbalancing forces of mind may appear. In which case, just allow for the focus to become a little bit stronger so as to stay on this path, to stay focused. And now, having cultivated metta for oneself, there is a wellspring of metta now from which to invite the other categories of beings. So rather than projecting outwardly with the mind, simply inviting into the metta, one who is a benefactor in your life or has been. This is an individual who is generally in the role of a teacher or a mentor. Someone who has been kind and supportive. Here we access the storehouse of gratitude. It doesn't have to be the perfect person, just one representing this category of beings, one's benefactor. And continuing with the metta, but replacing the benefactor with I. I'm sorry, replacing I with the benefactor. May you, my benefactor, be free or safe from all forms of danger and harm. May you have mental happiness. May you have physical happiness. May you have ease of well-being. Perhaps it's helpful to invite an image of this individual, or just the person's name, or the felt sense of the individual. Knowing that this image is arising here within this mind, or the felt sense of this individual is arising here within this body. and now inviting a dear one. A dear one is one with whom the emotional channels are relatively clear and open. Anyone can appear. An animal, a child, a partner, a friend, someone unexpected. Allowing whomever it is that you invite or whomever it is that appears to represent this category of those who are dear to you. And offer, dear one, may you be free or may you be safe from all forms of danger and harm. May you have mental happiness. May you have physical happiness. May you have ease of well-being. No need for urgency for any suffering in this conveyance. Just lightly, gently, and with balance, offering metta to the dear one. Remembering to breathe. Metta is meant to be light. Knowing the distinction between thinking and the cultivation of metta can be extremely helpful. Returning. And now, with the same degree of care, inviting a neutral person. A neutral person represents the many people in our lives that are incidental. We have moments when we're aware of them. Oftentimes for me, the neutral person is a person I saw at a crosswalk many years ago. And yet this being keeps emerging in my mind to represent all beings that we have a certain degree of awareness of in a moment, or maybe in consistent moments throughout our lives, but whom we do not know personally, that we don't know to the degree that we decided whether we like or don't like them. Inviting a neutral person representing all those who are neutral in our lives, and with care and tenderness, sharing, may you be free or safe from all forms of danger and harm. May you have mental happiness. May you have physical happiness. May you have ease of well-being. If disinterest arises, then to simply begin again. And now, inviting one who is difficult for you. Traditionally, this category is referred to as the enemy. But enemy is, I think, too strong. We can begin with that sense of dislike. Keeping it close to the heart in a way that's manageable. Because there are degrees of dislike. Dislike arises out of that sense of disapproval or being hurt in some way. Oftentimes with an attending sense of preoccupation, desire that it were different. And here we assume balance. We invite one who's difficult for us and offer the metta with the same care and continuity that we would ourselves, our benefactor, a dear one, a neutral person, and now one who is difficult. May you be free or safe from all forms of danger and harm. May you have mental happiness. May you have physical happiness. May you have ease of well-being. Releasing that place that wishes to deprive this person of well-being. May you be free or safe from all forms of danger and harm. May you have mental happiness. May you have physical happiness. May you have ease of well-being. Remembering to breathe along with this cultivation of metta with the difficult person. And now, beginning with a short list of the categories that represent all beings. Beginning with those who are near to you and those that are far from you in distance. May you be free or safe from all forms of danger and harm. Including those that are known to you and those that are not known to you. Including those who are young, the wee ones, those who are in middle life, and those who are in the elder years. including all women and all men, including all men and all women, and those who feel that they are a balance of both, male and female. Including in your metta all those who are happy in this moment, and as well those who are unhappy, who are suffering in this moment. Including all of those who have been born and those who have not yet been born. Including such beings in your metta. Including those who exist in the animal realm. Metta strengthens with balance. Including all beings who live within the earth. All beings that live within the air and water. All beings who exist in front of you, near and far. All beings in existence to the right of you, near and far. All beings in existence behind you, near and far. And all beings in existence to the left of where you sit, near and far. Those in existence above you and below you, near and far. And in this expansive inclusion of all beings, return to the one sitting here, the one who is cultivating metta, the one who is inclined to open this heart to oneself and all inclusively. perhaps sense a moment of gratitude for this capacity that exists within this mind, within this heart. Knowing that it's through this capacity that we build for ourselves that then this capacity expands to include one other being, two, three, and so forth. May I be blessed with metta in my life. May you be blessed with metta in your life. May we be blessed with metta in our lives. May all beings be blessed with metta in their lives. I am grateful for the seeds of metta that you have planted, because there's a possibility that I may be the recipient of one of those seeds. And those seeds can take many forms, just a momentary blessing. I see that all the time for myself, that just the seeing of someone gives rise to the configuration of thought. I bless you with metta. And then there's a real sense of a true connection in that moment, even if I never am going to see that individual again. Sometimes harder to keep that going within ourselves and to allow for that momentary metta blessing to arise with those that we live close to. We can get so bound, and each moment of metta, we are unbound for that moment. May it be so. There's another quality that lives deep within our hearts. It's said that this heart, this mind and heart in Buddhism, there's no distinction actually, although in the way that we live, there's clearly a separation. But in this heart, there are the same seeds planted within each of us, the wholesome seeds and the unwholesome seeds, without exception. No matter who we are, no matter how we perceive ourselves or one another. And it really is all in what we cultivate. In fact, cultivation is a clear way of defining a purposeful life, a life in which we use this breath wisely to cultivate that which is wholesome, to water the wholesome seeds within the heart. And we have done so, and are doing so with the cultivation of metta. we have done so, we are doing so with a cultivation that allows for us to permeate our experience of our bodies and this breath with mindfulness. Because within this, metta arises naturally. And when we wish to strengthen it, to awaken it more completely, then we engage the metta bhavana, or the cultivation. Bhavana is cultivation. Another wholesome seed in the heart is that of compassion. And of course, I'll say more about compassion this evening. But again, compassion is oftentimes thought of as an emotion. I'd like to refer to it as an aspect of intelligence. And an aspect of intelligence that we have, but that we may not have strengthened yet to an awakened state. It might just be, let's say, vague. It might be something that we think is good and we admire, but not something operative. And that might be because we don't know what it is. We have an ideological sense. So in order to truly understand something, we again embody it. To truly understand something, we awaken it within so that it can arise naturally. So for those who wish today, we can use the force of mindfulness that we've built up at a foundational level that is now functioning within the movements of our breathing that we lent to the metta practice. And if you wish now to lend to the direct cultivation of karuna or compassion, karuna bhavana. This evening, when I talk a bit more about concentration and karuna, I'll say a little bit more about how the Buddha continued to cultivate the Brahma-Vihara of compassion as a part of his daily life. So we can join the Buddha. I'll also talk a little bit more about the fact that all and everything that exists within the Buddha's teaching is an expression of compassion. Because it was the intention of compassion that was the underlying motivating force over time that gave rise to Shakyamuni. Compassion conjoins with wisdom. It's an access to wisdom. Without compassion, there is no true wisdom. Only partial understanding. Incomplete. So the compassion phrase is simpler for those who may wish to experiment or to continue. Some of you have already spent quite a bit of time cultivating compassion in your lives. I'm grateful to you. The phrase for compassion is, may I be free from suffering and its causes. One doesn't have to be experiencing suffering in order to cultivate suffering. One can just know that suffering exists. And the concentration of this particular Brahma-Vihara allows for us to truly function and work within the Four Noble Truths as a student of the First Noble Truth, the truth of suffering. To be able to awaken to this tenderness of heart that is capable of recognizing suffering, but from a wholesome and balanced awareness that does not fall into sorrow, but can open an experience with respect. The fact that suffering is the basis of liberation. we open to suffering, and it transforms into freedom. So, if you wish to begin or to continue with Karuna Bhavana, it will be a transition. So you take a moment to connect with the body, this breath. And maybe contemplate for a moment the importance of intention as the foundation, a way of launching one's attention. Intention launches attention. And in a receptive manner, just beginning to form the words, may I be free from suffering and its causes. Remembering that one doesn't have to know what freedom is, or what suffering is, or what the causes are. That this is all something that arises through the strengthening force of wisdom that occurs through the compassion practice. It's enough to be willing to be free from suffering and its causes. May I be free from suffering and its causes. May I be free from suffering and its causes. May I be free from suffering and its causes. If it leads to thinking, just note again the distinction between thinking and these simple phrases that we are awakening in our minds to represent our willingness to be free from suffering. May I be free from suffering and its causes. Returning. This is a mindfulness practice. It is meant to be something that we cultivate moment by moment until it becomes a stream, continuous and attended to with care and with perseverance. Suffering and its causes. I've been noticing and appreciating in the interviews and in the group, the 4 o'clock group, that there's a certain degree of maturity here in the practice, in the ability to just honor the integrity of one's own practice and to stay with what seems to be of essence. And so for some of you, you have continued with the initial teachings that were offered, that were meant to provide a foundation that we continue to drop into as a basis for the mindful application with metta and now with karuna. Not that I've seen it or experienced it, but no need to be confused. Because if you're choosing to continue with the mindfulness and with the arising of vipassana or concentration through mindfulness, then metta and karuna are awakening inadvertently. If the sense of guardianship, if the intuition of heart felt that metta was the appropriate integration in the practice, then that seems to have been chosen with clarity. And you may continue, if it seems appropriate, to do metta. And now karuna. So just whatever seems true and appropriate for now. It's helpful to understand that when we do make a shift in the object of concentration, that what we do is take a moment to adjust. It's a slightly new relationship, although it's the same relationship. And so during the walking period, if you are adjusting to working with karuna or cultivating karuna, then perhaps just begin your walking with the karuna phrase and then just do mindfulness in the walking and see if the karuna just seems to kind of blend into the walking meditation. And then focus it. And then when you're at the end of your walking path, standing and turning consciously, mindfully, just stop again and begin the karuna. And then see if it blends into the mindfulness as you walk mindfully. Just a gentle and soft and gradual integration. Or it might just arise and be very, very clear. I don't know what it'll be like for you, but it's all a learning process. It's all an experiment.